testimonies this morning in music and word and praise. Just warmed my heart. Thank you so much, and thank you, Michael, for sharing with us a moment ago. I got a little apprehensive, though. Michael was getting over into my sermon this morning, and he just almost got all of it said, but I'm going to go back and say it again. Thank you so much for sharing. And Jerry was sharing with me, too, and what we're going to share with the congregation today, that it comes as a recommendation from your pastor, the youth leaders and the deacons, that next Sunday you would voice your support of Michael as our youth minister, or if you, in the meantime, have an opportunity to speak to him and you decide not, well, then you can let him know that as well. But I think this morning you have been able to catch a glimpse of the Savior in Michael's life, and you'll want to share in that special time. We're looking forward to what's going to happen with our young people as the days proceed here and how we can relate to youth around the community. For several weeks now, this is kind of a change up from last Sunday when we had lay renewal. We've got more to say about that as we go along here, but we've been talking about the highway of holiness. It all begins with David's cry before the Lord. He says, "Who can ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who can stand in his holy place? But he that has clean hands and a pure heart, who hasn't lifted up his voice to swear deceitfully." We got to be transparent with God, transparent with one another. And that's the beginning of the highway of holiness. And when we look upon the holiness of God, we see the awesome presence and power of God. It brings about an humble spirit in our hearts. And from that humility comes a sense of brokenness. And from the brokenness, confession, where we become transparent with God and admitting our own need for Him. Out of that transparency and brokenness comes forgiveness and repentance. Repentance and then forgiveness. And when we experience the forgiveness of God, we become forgiving of one another. And then out of that forgiveness comes the spirit of love and unity. And we start down that road of holiness. And it just continues to be a process. We repeat it over and over again until we stand before the Lord one day. Turn in your Bible this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, which speaks to this issue of putting the past behind us and moving forward with God along the highway of holiness. I love this particular passage. And when I read it, you may wonder why, because it is a Paul's short list of wrong behavior. And I can't say that I have participated in every wrong behavior that Paul mentions here, but he didn't intend this to be an encyclopedia of sin. He intended for it to call our attention to every wrong behavior that keeps us separated from God and from one another. And I just simply have to say, I've had more experience with sin than I want to have. And this passage reminds me of that so much and leads us to recognize where we stand before God. Follow along as I read the verses, beginning with verse 9 here. Paul is writing to a church that has fallen back into some of their old ways. If you are a believer in Christ and you find yourself moving back into some of the patterns and the behavior, the wrong behavior of the past before you knew Christ as your Savior, you will want to hear what he has to say here. He says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? If you insist on following that behavior and you insist on moving in that kind of lifestyle, you're not going to experience an eternal behavior of peace with God. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, this isn't the whole list. This is just Paul's short list. So you might want to add some other things in there that the Holy Spirit has convicted you of as wrong behavior in His sight, found in God's Word. But this is the part I like the most. Listen to this. Verse 11, and such were some of you. You may be already identifying, saying, oh, you know, that's where I was. Such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Not every Christian has participated in everything that Paul names here in that short list, and I'm sure we could each add other things to that list that Paul has there. But every Christian has sinned in a way that Christ Jesus has taken to his cross, our sin upon himself. We've all experienced that. What concerns Paul here in writing this letter and listing these things, what concerns him, and it concerns me today as a fellow Christian and a pastor of a congregation, is that some Christians and some church members of our congregation and congregations have turned back to some of those same behaviors in the past. We've gone back, turned back to those things that we once had put aside. And Paul says here in verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. In other words, when you are truly forgiven and turn to Christ and walk with Him, you have a new attitude about wrong behavior, about sin in your life. What's that attitude? You want to please God more than you want to follow the things of the flesh or the world or of the devil himself. You have a new attitude. God changes your wanter. You don't want to do those things. If they occur, you want to remove yourself from them as immediately. You don't want to do those things that are wrong any longer. Now, if you say, well, I still kind of like to do that, you need to take your wanter back to the cross. Because when Jesus Christ comes into our hearts, He changes our lives. He changes the want to. And also, He changes the way that we live before Him. Now, Paul goes on to here in this letter, in this chapter 6 of the letter to the Corinthians, to describe and talk about some of the wrong behavior. And I think it would be well for us to go back where he started this list. We don't want to overlook that, because in verse 1 of chapter 6, Paul starts out here. He says, dare any of you, I mean, Paul says, I can't believe this, that you, having a matter against another, would go to law before the unrighteous and not before fellow Christians, before the saints. Things really haven't changed over the 2,000 plus years since Paul wrote these words. Christians still have disagreements with one another. And Christians, when we disagree with one another from time to time, sometimes we choose to settle those differences in an unchristian way, in the manner that they did in the first century. They took their disagreements to pagan courts, to unbelieving judges. In other words, Christians, Paul found some Christians who were still settling their differences the way they did before they became a Christian. And he said, that shouldn't be. He says, that just simply shouldn't be. They were going to court, suing one another. They stood before a pagan judge and asked, what do you think we as Christians should do? And Paul said, what kind of statement is that for two Christian people to have? So here in verse 11, Paul goes back to explain what he means. He says, we have been washed from our sins in the shed blood of Jesus. We've been set apart from the world by our Heavenly Father. We've been justified before God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit of God has taken control of our lives. What are we doing? Taking one another before unbelievers to settle our differences. And as Paul uses this, I mean, this could have been another issue. I mean, it could have been something else. What are we doing? Going back to these old practices of wrong behavior, of sin in our lives. But dealing with this one in verse 7, he says, now therefore, it is altogether an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated? In other words, if a Christian should cheat you, or if it were some other matter, if a Christian should treat you wrong, how will you deal with that matter? Paul says, why not just rather, in the words of the world, suck it up and just accept the wrong behavior? Why not do that? God really brought that home to me quite a number of years ago. I had lived in a house for about 20 years at the time, and decided that it's time for me to kind of make some adjustments here, and so I decided to sell the house. And the house sold rather quickly, within a few days, quicker than I thought. And when the new buyer and I agreed upon a sale price, and I said to him, you know, if I'm here longer than a certain date, I will pay you so much every day for the time that I remain in the premises. And he said, that's agreeable. So the house was sold, and the time passed, but things didn't work out exactly the way I had thought, and so I found out that I'm going to have to stay in this property a little bit longer, and I called him up. I said, I'm going to have to stay longer. I'm going to owe you some rent. You know, he said, that's fine. And sure enough, when the time passed and I was able to move out, I went to him and I said, I owe you X amount of money, and paid him several hundreds of dollars. And he seemed to be content with that, I thought, until maybe a few weeks had passed, a month or so. I get a letter in the mail from the new buyer. And he says, you owe me, and it was several hundred dollars. And he said, because I had some other expenses that I had to pay, and so you owe me some money. I thought, I don't owe him any money, but it was the next sentence that really caught my attention. He said, now this fellow was a member of another Baptist church too. We were two Christian brothers, you know, and he said, but I know Christians, and I know how Christians are, and I probably never see this money. And I thought, whoa, he doesn't know Christians very well, does he? Or does he? So I immediately got in my car, and I went over to the old house and knocked on the door, and the fella came to the door, and I said, can I talk to you? Yes, sir. I said, I owe you some money. That's right, you owe me. And he names several hundred dollars, $500, $600, something. I said, well, just a minute. And I reached in my pocket and got out my checkbook, and I wrote him a check for the number of $100 that it was. And I said, is that everything that I owe you? Yep, that's it. It takes care of everything. I said, well, I want you to have that because, first of all, I don't believe that I owe you that, but be as it may, I don't want you to ever question whether or not I have a true and real faith in Jesus Christ. I would rather just pay you the money and let that be done. He said, okay. And he took the money. And we parted, and that was fine. I didn't think anything more about that. Several years even passed, and I heard through the grapevine this gentleman was having some severe physical illness, and I went back and knocked on his door again. I said, can I come in and pray with you? He said, please do. And we were able to talk about our relationship with the Lord and agree with, as brothers, to ask the Lord to intervene in his life. Here's the difference there. I wanted him and I wanted others to know that what God had done in my life was a change of attitude. I would rather have fellowship with a brother and sister in Christ than I had to have money in the bank or even peace and things in my hands. And that's what Paul is saying here. Why not suffer loss? I would rather just say to someone, I know I've offended you, I've hurt you, even when there may be hurt on the other side, than to not do that. That's what Scripture is talking about again here in the Scripture. And in verse 9, Paul warns those who cheat others, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Now, we can't have it both ways. We can't live in the world and act like the world and inherit another world that is a world of righteousness before God. So he teaches us how to live and how to act ourselves before others. Now, he then explains righteous behavior, how we should behave ourselves righteously as redeemed before the Lord. Verse 11, he says, such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I like that statement there, such were some of you. You go down the list there. All sorts of things are spoken of. It doesn't really matter. It could be something of a material nature that I spoke about there a moment ago. It could be something else. And here in this church in Corinth, there were people who were now believers in Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ, who had experienced all sorts of things in their lives. But they had come to know three things. Number one, they had come to experience the washing by the blood, the sinless blood of Jesus Christ. They were washed. That is, their behavior had been changed. Their water had changed. And the Apostle John also joined in with Paul in writing this very thing in the Revelation, in chapter 1 of Revelation, in verse 5. He said, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Spiritual cleansing has taken place in our lives. We no longer want to practice our old sins. Those things that may happen in our lives must happen against our desire to do them. We no longer want those things to happen in our lives. The prophet Isaiah describes this same washing. There in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, he says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Every sin in the repentant sinner's life has been washed whiter than any bleach could ever make it. You're clean. You're pure, Michael. You've been washed in the sinless blood of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you. This makes me want to shout. We're in the old church. We had somebody say, glory. I've been washed. I've been washed. And the washing changes our want to. We don't want to do that anymore. Was it Adrian Rogers years ago? Someone asked him, said, are you saying that we can just do anything that we want to? And Adrian said, absolutely. we can do anything we want to. The thing is, Adrian said, I don't want to anymore. I don't want to. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to do those things. Whether it's lying, as he spoke of, or partying, or anything, even the homosexual behavior. I don't want to do that anymore. He's changed my water. But there's more. Paul continues there. And he says, we have been sanctified. Sanctified. Now, when you read Paul's short list of sins here, there's some pretty sorry things mentioned. I mean, stealing, lying. That was one I was worried about when I was a youngster. My brother's here today. My younger brother, he knows. I've often said if I had a nickel, I would have said I had $5. And I remember when Jesus saved me, washed me, and he sanctified me, that immediately, one of the very first things was he convinced me and convicted me, you cannot say one thing when it's not true. You have to tell the truth. And so he sanctified, set me apart from that. I want to tell the truth today. And you can ask my brother, and he'll tell you the truth about these things about me if you need to. Partying, cheating, Paul's short list here. Drinking, homosexuality, sexual immorality, adultery. That's pretty serious stuff, but it doesn't cover all the sins. You may say, well, I got by that, but he didn't know. No, he covers them all pretty well there. Washing by the blood of Jesus resulted in a change of behavior. Old things passed away. New things were begun. New patterns of obedience and pursuit of holiness began. We're not perfect, but we're moving in a new direction, and it's the right direction and not the old direction, which is away from God. We've been set apart for a new direction with Christ. People know we're different. That's what Paul was underlining here. People know we're different. The question here today is, do folks know you're different? Or do most of them pretty much figure you're pretty much the same as you used to be? You haven't changed at all. And I probably shared this before because it really made an impression on me. Actually, it got under my skin. I had a favorite barbershop, fellas, that I would frequented, about once a month. I'd go into that barbershop. And the moment I walked in the door, the barber would greet me. He, in a loud voice, he would say, place be full of folks. He'd say, come in, preacher. And I told him, finally, I just got him aside and I said, listen, I don't want to be singled out. I just want to get my hair cut. I don't want to be singled out in here. And he got me over to the side. He said, now, preacher, listen. He says, some of these boys in here are different from you. And I don't want them to be embarrassed about the way they talk in front of you. He said, I don't want you to be embarrassed by the way they talk. I said, listen, I'm not going to be embarrassed. They may be embarrassed when they find out, that they are, others know how differently they speak. But I just want, I'm not going to be embarrassed by that. He said, no, I'm not going to do that. So, I had to put up with that all through the time. But, come in, preacher, But I will have to say this, as I look back on it, the thing that was going on here is that he recognized that there was a difference in the way I lived in that community. And Paul wanted the church to be that way. He wanted folks to know we were different. We were different about in the way we talked. We were different in the way we acted, in the way we treated one another. We're different. We've been sanctified. We've been washed in the blood of Jesus. And there's more. It just gets better. He said, you're justified in the name of Jesus and by the Spirit of God. That means you're no longer accountable for the guilt of sin in your life. Consequences, yes, you may very well experience consequences for past behavior, but you are no longer accountable for guilt for the past behavior that you've had. You've been given a new standing before God, one of righteousness. When you look in the mirror every morning, you can look in that mirror according to 2 Corinthians 5:10 and you can say, good morning, righteousness of God. I can just hear it going all over. And isn't that the way you do every morning? Good morning, righteousness of God. Virginia, you do that? You are. The Bible says he has made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You let that sink in. You have a new standing before God. You have been made righteous, the righteousness of God. How dare we do any of these things again? We who have been given the righteousness of God and we stand in his presence. You say, how could such a thing be? In the name of Jesus, by the Spirit of God, he has come into our hearts and changed our attitude about life and about God and about one another. And we stand before him. The Holy Spirit has acted as the agent of salvation and the one who is able to change us and make it possible. We've been set free. We've been set free from the flesh. We've been set free from the world. And we're set free from the unholy presence of Satan in our lives. Therefore, we can walk in newness of life on the highway of holiness and experience the forgiveness of God. We're going to talk more about that forgiveness as we continue to walk along the journey and the pathway. But my prayer today is for each one of us that we might be able to say, I have that peace with God. I have that righteous standing with God in Christ, and I'm going to walk with him wherever he leads. I will follow. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you and praise you today for your word that speaks to our hearts, that teaches us, Father, who we are in Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray for those who are here today who are struggling with the finding that peace, Lord, that you would present your presence to them to change their heart and our hearts now and forever. Lord, we bless you, we praise you, we worship you today. I pray, Lord, this will be the day that changes our lives forever, and we will no longer walk in the way of the past. We'll put the past behind us and walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When we stand in a moment to sing, I want to challenge you today to do what the New Testament tells us is the way to follow Christ. That is, to openly, publicly declare him to be the Lord of your life, to follow him in faith, believing, and allow Jesus Christ to make you the person he wants you to be. While we're singing that song and singing together, if you respond today and say, I want to know more about this, I have decided to follow Jesus, come and share that with me. Just, I'm going to simply ask you as you stand here, why are you here? I've decided to follow Jesus. I want a new walk with Christ. Or you may be in search of a place where you can grow in the Lord Jesus Christ and be a part of a church family. I invite you to come this morning and say, we want to be a part of this church family, this church body, the way that God has led us to this place. You come and share that with us. I'm not going to make a speech or answer 10 questions or anything like that, but maybe we can set some time aside where we can sit down and pray together. We can talk together and God will lead in your life. Let's stand as we sing. You come, respond as God speaks to your heart today.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee.
So much today for your presence here and your attentiveness to God's word, and I'm praying that God's spirit will work in your heart and mine to help us move along that highway of holiness, to experience the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the presence of God's Holy Spirit. Please take a moment to be seated and let me share a couple of things with you just before we leave today. We're